Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. She's the first black woman elected to chair of the Board of Supervisors in Loudoun County, Virginia. And tonight, we sit down again with Phyllis Randall to talk about politics, race, and other issues. Lines are open if you have a comment or if you have a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Madam Chair, good to see you again.
Thank you, Harold. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
I know I want to talk about Loudoun and what's happening in Virginia, but I got to ask you about the news because, and it's some Maryland stuff. A delegate has just been censured for use of the N-word. It was unanimous. You agree with the move by the Maryland House of Delegates in addressing this issue of racism?
I do. I think every elected body should figure out how they want to deal with these types of issues. And if the Maryland House of Delegates as a whole body, or and it was unanimous, but even if it had been a majority, decided they should censor her, then that's what should happen. The people who are elected by Maryland should be the ones that say what should happen. And they did. And so I agree with that and I support it completely.
Let's talk about Virginia.
Sure.
I hear the tone. You've been outspoken about the blackface issue regarding Governor Ralph Northam. Talk to me in depth about your feelings when you first heard about it and whether or not your feelings about it have evolved in any way.
Yeah, my feelings have not evolved in any way. I was, the night I heard about it, I was with a group of women at the at a governing magazine forum, and a friend of mine sent me the text, and my first thought was, well, that can't be my governor. That just cannot be. And then that night, he admitted that to being, and his words were, he was one of the people in costume. So he did not, we were not clear if he was in the blackface standing next to the Klans member, or if he was the Klans member standing next to the person in blackface. That night, I got in a phone call with African-American elected leaders across Virginia, and we discussed how we wanted to go forward. And what was decided is that there would be a letter written to the governor asking him to resign. I actually penned that letter. I was the person that wrote that letter, and we asked him to resign. He, of course, did not, but that has not changed for me. I believe the governor should resign, and I have not evolved on that at all. I do not believe it is up to the black community to be the place where Mr. Northam fixes his legacy. I do not believe that the African-American community should be asked to provide the cooling, healing salve to help him take care of his self-inflicted wounds. I like to have his resignation and nothing less.
Have you spoken to the governor since this?
I have not. And I have not. And quite frankly, a lot of black elected leaders, especially at the county level, he has not reached out. And the governor and his chief of staff know how to get a hold of me, could reach out to me. We have a relationship, but he has not reached out to me, not at all.
How would you characterize the relationship?
At this point?
Now and before?
At this point, we don't have a relationship. I would say before we had a very amicable, friendly relationship. I will say that, you know, I am floored that this happened. And before he admitted it, I would have never believed that that would be my governor who would have done that. And people have said, like, don't you accept his apology? Well, yes, I do. But you can apologize and then go on your tour to you know, your racial recognition tour without doing it from the governor's office. So it's not a matter of do I accept his apology? I do. Or do I wish the best for he and Pam and his family? I certainly do. But the governor's office is the office of the people. And, you know, the financial damage it will do to the Commonwealth, the damage that it does to people just every day sitting in office. You know, you can reconcile with and talk to people you need to talk to from someplace other than the governor's office. And so, although some people have softened on this and have changed their beliefs and they've evolved, I believe you can and you should, you know, if you want to in your heart forgive him, we can do that. Forgiveness is not the same thing as not having to pay a consequence for what you've done. I do forgive him, and I like his resignation.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking with the chair of the Board of Supervisors in Loudoun County, Phyllis Randall. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call again at 202-319-7810. What about Mark Herring? Should he resign?
You know, I do think that there's a difference between being racially insensitive and being racist. They're not the same thing. Mark Herring did something at age 19 that was racially insensitive. He put on makeup to be Curtis Blow. I find it amazing because, you know, of course, I think that was 1984 also. I think Curtis Blow had made like one song, right? So if you're,
but it was a big song.
It was a big song. So if you have the clothes on and you're on stage and you're singing Brakes on the Bus, Brakes on the Car, you're Curtis Blow. Mm-hmm. The makeup was not required. But I think it's different for a 17-year-old to put makeup on and be Curtis Blow. That's racially insensitive. Versus a 25-year-old mm-hmm. who is not sure to this day whether or not he was the person either in blackface standing next to the Klansman, that's what he believes. And so when Mr. Northam did his Saturday morning press conference and he said, I had to call some of my classmates. I had to look at the picture closely. And after looking at the picture, I determined that it was not me. You know, at this point, you've lost me. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to look at a picture closely to know that that is not you standing next to the Klansman in blackface. So I think what Mark Herring did was racially insensitive. But I think that's not the same thing, as it doesn't rise to the level of what the governor has done. And so I would not call for and have not called for Mr. Herring's resignation.
Going down the line, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, mm-hmm. His accusations are arguably more serious. Mm-hmm. He's been accused by two women of sexual assault. One specifically saying that Fairfax raped her while he was a student at Duke University. Do you think he should resign? And if not, can he continue to govern?
And I think that is the question. You know, I do believe politicians forget that the offices that we are put in do not belong to us. They belong to the people. And the moment we lose our ability to govern, we should question whether or not we should stay in the office. I consider Justin Fairfax a friend. He is one of the most brilliant young minds we've seen around in a while. But if you do no longer have the ability to govern, and especially a lieutenant governor's whole job is just to be the president of the Senate and to govern, they have no executive power. So if the office that you are sitting in is an office that requires you to govern and you cannot, you should really seriously think about giving your office up.
How do you know when you can't govern?
Well, you know, things like during last year's session, the lieutenant governor broke six ties, and they were very important for legislation to get through. This year, he had broke one tie in the committee, and then the Republicans took it back and re-voted, and so it didn't even count anymore. You have to have some weight behind you if you're going to govern. You have to have an authority behind you to govern. You have to have the trust of the people behind you to govern. And if you lose all those things, then I think it's fair to say you should consider stepping aside.
Have you spoken to him since this controversy has arisen?
I have. I've spoken to him more than once after the first woman, but before the second woman. Since the second woman, I've only spoken to him by text, and I have not spoken to him since right after the second
Can you share with us a bit of what he says, how he's feeling, how he's addressing this issue?
I will say that he has said that he categorically denies these accusations. It is not true. And after the second person, he has asked for a full investigation.
Yes. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Phyllis Randall of Loudoun County. She is the chair of the Board of Supervisors. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back to the governor's office and Pam Northam. Man, Virginia, the hits just keep coming.
Yeah.
She is, as you know, she has been accused of handing out cotton balls, raw cotton, at the governor's mansion, specifically in a cabin or cottage where slaves would have lived during the antebellum period. Mm-hmm. The accusation is that those cotton balls were given to three black legislative pages, student-aged children. She says that they were given to all children, having neither one of us were there.
Sure.
Your thoughts about not only that specific issue, but how it is just impacting how the country is looking at Virginia.
You know, we often joke when people say the words, "I have a black friend," so that proves I'm not racist. But there may be times you should reach out to your black friend and ask them, is this appropriate? Ms. Northam is a teacher, and she's probably done this before. But given that we are all in Virginia just on a pin's edge, and because the sensitivities are so high, I think that it would have been wise for her to think about that more than once. And I would have to believe that she probably didn't check with someone before doing that. I think the Northams, first of all, I think the governor should resign. But I definitely think they should take a step back, take a breath, get some wise counsel from friends that they say that they have, and, you know, give something one, two, three thoughts before they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have met the First Lady. She is a very nice woman. Again, she's an educator. And she says she meant no harm. I take her at her word. But let's just stop and think these things through a little bit better. And I think that has not happened.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking with Phyllis Randall, the chair of the Board of Supervisors in Loudoun County. We are going to go to the phone lines after this short break. We're going to talk to Grace calling from Richmond. Grace, thanks for holding on. Derek calling from Oxon Hill. Orlando calling from Bowie. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM channel 141. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking to Phyllis Randall, chair of the Board of Supervisors in Loudoun County. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Grace calling from Richmond. Thanks for calling, Grace. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, it's interesting that everybody is all forgiving for Governor Northam. But the whole environment of Virginia is going to have to really come up to speed. You know, it's interesting how, you know, Richmond specifically was cited because they wanted to have Lee Jackson Day they wanted to have, they didn't want to recognize Martin Luther King Day. You ride down 95 corridor, you see, still see the Confederate flag hanging over 95 of the highway. So it's really not that surprising for this to come out as far as Governor Northam and his wife, because down here that they still have that type of down south, you know, homeboy atmosphere. So, and it's nice that it finally reached the dynamics that it has reached, because I'm pretty sure that folks outside of the Virginia Quarter, especially when you hit down Richmond, are unaware. I mean, a lot of people don't even know that here in this part of Virginia, April is considered as Confederacy Month.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've definitely heard that. Grace, thank you so much for sharing with us your thoughts, Madam Chair, about what Grace was sharing with us.
Well, I think there's a difference between can we offer him forgiveness and do we want his resignation? I think each person in their heart has to decide whether or not they are ready to accept his apology and forgive them. But I think that's different from him resigning. I stand on the fact that I want his resignation. He has asked for forgiveness, and you know, God has given me so much grace in my life that who am I not to forgive another person? That's not my issue. But he should still resign. I will also say, Grace, you are correct. And if nothing else, can we actually have some honest, courageous conversations about race in Virginia and have some real thought leaders lead those conversations? This would be a time to do that.
What would that look like? Because, like you said, this would be, you know, the time to do that. But you are a politician.
Sure.
You are an elected official.
Yeah.
And this does not look good for you know, progressives, for Democrats in a purple state.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? How do you have that conversation in the midst of so much political turmoil?
Well, first, you know, listen, you're right. I am a Democrat. Mr. Northam is a Democrat. But I have to believe if we start combing through the yearbooks of all the Republican legislators down in Richmond, we may find some things down in those yearbooks also. I do not necessarily believe, in fact, I don't believe that this is a Democrat moment. And I do think that if we're starting to have those courageous conversations, we should start them in the churches. There's a documentary called Martin's Lament, and it says that 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in the country. And that is true. I know. I mean, I visit a lot of churches, and I am surprised sometimes when I walk in the church and there's, you know, there are very few people of different cultures and colors that sit in a church. And so, you know, if we're going to have those courageous conversations, we really want to get somewhere. I think this is where we turn to the faith community and say, help us with this. So much of what happened during the civil rights movement and all the movements that have really pushed us forward happened hand in hand with the faith community. And so, you know, there are times when any elected official maybe should step aside and, you know, create the space, set up the meeting, help them do it. But I think that this is some place that the leading pastors and rabbis and priests who live in our communities to come together and start these conversations.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Derek, calling from Oxon Hill. Thanks for calling, Derek. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I just want to thank you for having me. Thank
sure.
you for letting me step in. But it's all about two faces being revealed today. Today, political standpoint of view, a lot of people don't know they're here to represent people. And at the end of the day, people have hidden agendas, like hidden feelings about certain things when they was growing up as they was young. But I guess we all see that people, when they grow up, they see that the mistakes they made when they was young, do those feelings still exist when they get to a state, a point in their life to where they're representing a higher standard?
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can help you with this. Are you talking about, for example, racism, prejudice being taught or learned, right. I should say, instead
exactly.
of...
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. When we're young, you know, you taught and see a certain type of way in life. And as you get older, do those ways come back and haunt you?
Okay.
You know, not saying that it's that person that stays same state of mind, we don't know. Or we could go off of what a person says.
Okay.
But
Well, Derek, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Any thoughts about what Derek was sharing?
You know, I think Derek is correct. Derek, thank you for calling in. I think that, you know, we are taught things as children, and we have to challenge those beliefs as we get older. And again, I think the way we challenge those beliefs is to reach out to people who don't look like us, who don't think like us. You know, every day I try to talk to somebody different, watch a different news channel, do something different so that I am challenged, my belief system is challenged, and I learn some new things. And so we tend to live in silos. And because we do that, we have echoed back to us what we already believe. And so if we make a concerted effort on a regular basis to reach outside of our comfort zone and our circle, I think some of those beliefs will start to be challenged.
It's one thing for this kind of thing to come up in the, you know, in the halls of legislative works, mm-hmm, in Richmond. But when these things come up in schools,
sure,
where our most vulnerable,
sure,
our youngest people are,
sure,
it becomes a little scary, to say the least.
Yeah.
You're familiar with this issue at Madison Trust,
sure,
Elementary, where the children were in an attempt to, and I'm just really just kind of fascinated that this could happen, in an attempt to have a Black history lesson, instructing children to run an obstacle course as if they were on the Underground Railroad.
Right. Yeah.
What kind of thinking or non-thinking is going on here?
Well, you know, I spoke to the school board the other day, and I said that in 2008 I took over the chair of something called the Minority Student Achievement Advisory Committee, and I did that after learning that there had been an activity in our school system, and the question was asked to elementary school students, what were the pros and cons of slavery? And, you know, first of all, that question is just, you can't even believe that question is asked. And one of the pros were they get to walk outside in the cool night air and look at the stars. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. So now all these years later, we're still having these discussions. And let me say right up front, we have an amazing school system, and I am a huge supporter of our educators in Loudoun County and everywhere. But I think what, you know, what we've done is, you know, the incident at Madison Trust, to think that you can make a fun obstacle course out of people who were enslaved trying to get to freedom and not understand why that is a problem. It, as it turns out, my godson teaches at that school. So I called him and I said, how did this happen? And he told me, and again, what, you know, one thing that happened was the project-based learning teachers who put this together did not pass this by anybody else. It was them. I mean, my godson's down the hall, and he said, had they come and asked me, I'd have told them, this is a bad idea. Let's think of something else.
Did anybody think to say, can we talk to the black guy or the black woman?
Right.
Who, yeah.
And they didn't. So, it is sitting in your own silo thinking that you have a good idea. But what that activity did was completely minimize what it was to be an enslaved person and try to get to your freedom, and how many people never made it because they died on the way. And I don't believe for one second that those teachers are racist teachers. Not at all. But I do believe that our school system and every school system should take a look at themselves and what we're doing, and try to open up conversations, talk about racial insensitivity, you know, try to, you know, what are the known knowns, what are the known unknowns, and try to have these conversations with a much broader audience.
Well, the principal of Madison's Trust jumped right on this.
He did.
To his credit.
He did.
But the, you know, NAACP Executive Committee member Phil Thompson is calling for the superintendent Eric Williams to resign.
Sure.
Should he?
You know, I know Mr. Thompson, and the president of the NAACP Loudoun branch right now is a woman named Pastor Michelle Thomas, and I do not believe she has called for that at this time. I believe that there needs to be, and there are, conversations. The NAACP and the MSAC, Minority Student Achievement Advisory Committee, actually put out a letter about this issue. And so there is a call for an equity commission to be placed in our public school systems, and some other goals that the NAACP and other groups are bringing forth. And I believe that is the direction that we should go. Loudoun County has an amazingly good school system. It's not a perfect school system. I want to see more minority children being in our advanced placement classes. I want to see more minority children in the academies of Loudoun. But there are times when, you know, you take the opportunity and have a conversation. Unlike an elected position that belongs to the people, the superintendent's job is not that. And if he can, and I know Mr. Dr. Williams, I know him well, if he can take this moment and learn from it, that I believe is the goal. And I believe that is what the president of the NAACP is asking for.
But he's, and that's the president, but Mr. Thompson is calling for his resignation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you believe that Dr. Williams,
I do not.
You don't believe he
I do
should
not.
Go?
I do not. I do think that he should put in place an equity commission. I do believe that we should have a huge focus on minority hiring in Loudoun County public school system, not just of educators, but administrators, having more people of color in that front building. I actually talked to them about this very issue when we met with the school board. I believe that the goal of putting teachers of color in every class, because they're very, very well qualified, putting them in every class and all the way through Loudoun County, I believe, to listen more to what the MSAC is doing. Those things should be put in place and put in place quickly. So I don't think this is something that can wait another year or another 2 years. But I don't believe he should resign.
Let me go to Orlando at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Orlando calling from Bowie. What's on your mind?
Good evening, everyone. I have a comment and a question.
Go ahead.
My first comment is that in the age of gotcha politics, I believe that when somebody has done something wrong and has gone through a whole series of elections and pre-election activities, I find it curious that the information about all of the executive structure in the state of Virginia comes out at a certain time. My question is focused on Lieutenant Governor Fairfax. When you're accused, and this is the question, when you're accused of something and you're in an elected position, why does the person have to automatically be put in the position to leave when it's in the process of being proven and not proven, even though they're in that position for one series? I believe in Virginia, the governor can only be governor for one, for 4 years. So why do they have to be all automatically be put in the position to forfeit their position in Fairfax's case when he has to prove that he did not do it, prove a negative?
Hold on for a second. I need to take a break. When we come back, we will try to answer your question. Also, Dwayne, calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you as well. Stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with Phyllis Randall, Chair of the Board of Supervisors in Loudoun County. I want to go back to Orlando's question. I want to make sure I understand your question, Orlando. You were saying why, for example, in the case of Justin Fairfax, would he be asked to step down considering he only has one term to serve? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So
that may be civics.
Well, actually, so the politics. Governor can only serve one term, but the lieutenant governor and the attorney general can serve. They can serve more than one term.
Okay,
that's not actually true for the lieutenant governor and the attorney general.
Okay.
So that's not. And you know, Orlando, it is such a valid question, and I'm going to sound a little corny when I answer it, but the truth is, elected officials, we are held to a different standard. Because the standard is the public trust and the ability to govern. And so that's why I say, you know, Mr. Northam cannot stay in office while he is clearing his name. If you lose the public trust, to some degree, you lose the ability to govern. And so you know, when people say it's not fair, I do not disagree. It may not be fair. But this is one thing you know when you run for office. And to your question of how was this not known, I can't answer that. When I ran for chair, it was my third time running for office. And I cannot tell you how combed through my past. I mean, literally had my opponents down in my college, you know, like talking to people. You know, I mean, if you know, they were looking, they were going to look for skeletons, dig them up, you know, put something, you know.
Put
some skin on them. Make them walk again. So, you know, I don't know how, you know, but it is a different standard.
Orlando, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dwayne calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Dwayne, are you there?
Yeah,
go right
yes,
ahead.
Yes, I am. I have to concur with what the previous caller had mentioned. I find it troubling that public officials are forced to be judged by the court of public opinion. I understand that they have to be held at a higher standard. However, accusations fly all day, every day, and your opponent could contrive or pull up a accusation that is unsubstantiated. Mm-hmm. And so that then it creates a way of removing your mm-hmm. opponent from the public, from the competition. Having said that, we've all done things for the governor's point. He lived in a vacuum, okay? White, privileged, very majority vacuum. There, like you said, that the school system did not bounce decisions off of people of color to say, is this the right thing or not to do? Well, with Northam's problem, he had nobody to bounce it off of. Yeah, I'm in that environment. I can't, you know, what hell, I'm 20 years old and or 25, I forget how old he was. But again, if you're in a vacuum, you don't have that mindset to say, you know what, this is a bad idea.
Well, let me see what Chair Randall has to say about that. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you, Dwayne. I appreciate that. You know, one of the things that most concerned me about the press conference that was held the Saturday after the picture came out was that when Mr. Northam had his press conference, he said that the year before, which was 2017, he and his friend Seth were in a car and they were driving, and his friend Seth explained to him why blackface was a problem in 2017. So I can, you know, I hear you when you say he was 25 years old and maybe didn't have any friends to bounce it off of. Although when you look in his yearbook, there were people of color at the school. So there were people there. But I was equally concerned that he did not know that this was not okay until his black friend Seth told him this 2 years ago. So, you know, I do have to, you know, have to wonder what's going on there. And again, I know the governor. I voted for the governor. I supported him. But unlike some people who have evolved on this issue, I have not. I wish he well. I wish his wife well. I wish their family well. And I want his resignation and nothing less.
Dwayne, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. One of the things I've always been kind of curious about, as we started this program, and I was reminding our listeners that you were the first black woman to hold this position.
In Virginia.
Yeah. Touche. And Loudoun County is not Prince George's County.
No, Loudoun County is 7.3% African American.
Which brings me to my point. How can you, as a black woman, some would argue pretty woke, okay? How can you govern and lead and not be considered by the white constituency as a race woman. And this is why I ask that, because oftentimes, and now more than ever, when issues of race come up, mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, white people will roll their eyes and say, oh God, here we go again. Mm-hmm. How do you do your job and not have to deal with the here we go again?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think any elected official of color, and especially being the first, I get some of the here we go again. But the truth is, my job is to get people out of traffic. And when I'm driving in traffic, I look around. There is no lane for white people and a hot lane for white people. I mean, for black people. We are
Thank
all
goodness.
Sitting. We are all sitting in that traffic together. My job is to pass a county budget. My job is to make sure that our mental health services are well funded. My job is to bring businesses into Loudoun County and make sure that our economy is strong. And by the way, it is a very strong economy in Loudoun County. That is my job. And when I do my job well, and I believe that I do, there is nobody that I do not help. There is nobody that does not benefit from me doing my job well. And so I am the chair of the county, and I happen to be a person of color. I am not the black chair of Loudoun County. And that's how I approach my job. And, you know, have racial things happened to me? Yes. Have they happened to me since I've been sitting in office? Yes, they have. But the truth is, that is the minority, the small minority in the county who thinks about that first. The first thing they think about is, I'm going to miss my kid's baseball game if I can't get out of that traffic. And that is what I'm supposed to be doing, and that is what I do.
Outside of traffic congestion, which we all are so concerned about, what is the thing that keeps you up at night, mm-hmm. that you are most concerned about, that you believe is specific to Loudoun County and perhaps nowhere else in the Commonwealth?
Well, I'm going to have to change your question, because there's things.
You're going to change my question.
I'm going to change your question. There is one thing that keeps me up at night, but it's actually specific to the Capital Region, to the Washington Capital Region, and that is the issue of housing and having a diversity of housing to meet the unmet housing need. It is a very expensive place to live, the D.C. metro area, the National Capital Region. And because of that, we have, we are losing economic development. We are losing jobs. We had a situation in Loudoun where a restaurant couldn't open because they couldn't hire employees because the employees couldn't live in our county. Our firefighters, 29% of our career firefighters live in our county because they can't afford to live there. So what keeps me up at night is the housing issue. And we have to first put the infrastructure down to support the housing. And infrastructure is school, infrastructure is roads, it's fire and rescue, it's hospitals, it's community centers, it's parks and green spaces. But after we assure that the infrastructure is in place to support the housing, we have to put down a diverse housing stock so that people can be live in our counties and, in fact, in the Capital Metro region. So that is one of the main issues that keeps me up at night, is the housing issue.
To put a finer point on it, and I think you just made some great, you shared some great examples. The restaurant issue is one thing, but fire, police, public safety, not being able to afford to mm-hmm. live in the mm-hmm. community that you serve.
Sure.
That's very serious.
That is very serious, and it's something that I've talked about and work on all the time. We have to expand our affordable housing program. I'd like to have more money go into our affordable housing fund in Loudoun County, but also change the type of housing. You know, we can have single-family detached housing, single-family attached housing. But we also need two over twos. We need condominiums. We need lofts. We need different housing types. And that's the Capital Metro region needs this. I always say, you know, when Jeff Bezos moves to this area, I'd love for Jeff Bezos to live in Loudoun County. And I'd love for Jeff Bezos' assistant to live in Loudoun County. And I'd love for Jeff Bezos' intern to live in Loudoun County. And the person who cleans Jeff Bezos' office, please come to Loudoun County. And the guy that delivers his food, please live in Loudoun County. That's the housing stock we need.
But can you, in your capacity, because even before the housing stock, can you raise salaries for those critical jobs like police and fire?
Sure, and we already have. So not long ago, we found out that Loudoun County's employees across the board were making 86% of our comparator counties. And at that time, we considered our comparator counties all of Northern Virginia, Prince George's County, Maryland, and Prince George's County and Montgomery County, Maryland. We immediately put in place a plan to raise the salaries, and as of today, those salaries are up over 90%. The goal is to get them at no less than 90% of our comparator counties. And so, was it kind of hard in the push to do that? It was, and it has been. But it has been so important to me to make sure that the most valuable thing that we have for county government are our county employees, and to make sure they are compensated well, paid well, and that their jobs are ones that they want to work and stay in our county. So we can do that, and we are doing that. And it has been a success so far. And I just need people to hang in there with us while we also now start to figure out how to put the infrastructure in place so we can have more of that housing stock.
Would you run for governor?
I would.
You would?
I would.
There may be an opening.
I'm going to run for my chair. I'm going to run for my seat right now. I think, governor would be many years off. I love being the chair of Loudoun County. It is an honor and a blessing to serve every day. My election is November 5th, and I'm going to do that right now.
Phyllis Randall, chair of the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors, thank you so much for coming
in.
I appreciate it.
Enjoy,
and
enjoy
look forward
here.
To seeing you again.
Thank you so much.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, February 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.